In Mark chapter 3, the Gospel of Mark, the third chapter. Have you ever gotten close enough to a person in your life that they began to influence you? Maybe as a friend, maybe as a mentor, maybe as a parent, maybe as a mate, whatever it may have been, but you find some of the phrases they speak, you now catch yourself speaking. Maybe the way they walk, you find yourself starting to walk like them. Maybe the way they clear their throat, you started clearing your throat. You pick up some odd things over life. Maybe you began to walk and be affected so much by that, it actually started changing the way you live your life. Well, the same can happen with us spiritually. In fact, imagine in your life, if you had the opportunity, men, if you had the opportunity to have Pastor Terry walk with you every day, I'm sure spiritually that would help you. He'd influence your life for the cause of Christ. You'd be able to, at any point in time, stop and ask him for help and ask him for advice. That would influence you, probably change the way you live your life. Maybe for the ladies, I had the opportunity with Beth and allow her to influence your life. Again, what a tremendous blessing that would be. Well, as we look in the Gospels here, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had ordained 12. He had 12 disciples that were going to go about life with him. Can you imagine being mentored by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But I want you to notice something that it says here in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 14. It says, and he ordained 12 that they should be. Notice this, he didn't ordain 12 just to preach. He didn't ordain 12 just to gather the crowds. He didn't ordain 12 to be the setup, cleanup guys before and after miracles. While they may have done and helped with all those things, he actually ordained 12 that they may be, with him. He wanted them to be with him, and it goes on to say, and that he might send them forth to preach. So he ordained these 12 men that they would be with him. Why was that? He wanted to mentor them for the spreading of the gospel. Listen to this verse. It's found in Luke. It says, and it came to pass afterward, he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So can you imagine being on the preaching tour of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the things that you would have learned? Here he was going from in every town and village, and they were going right along with him, and he's preaching the kingdom of God, and they're able to hear message after message. I'm sure, knowing that they were one day going to have to go forth and preach, they listened to his delivery. They listened to what he talked about. They tried to pick up on some things in which he was saying. Continue on in Mark. Look at the sixth chapter for a moment. Look at verse 7 to begin. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two. So at this point, they have been training. They've been watching him. They've been observing. They have been with him. Their lives are being influenced by him. And now it comes a time where he begins to send them out. He's going to send them out in groups of two, but he's going to send them out to preach the gospel. And look at verse number 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Now, where do you think they learned that? Remember, they had been with him. He had been preaching in all the towns and villages. No doubt part of his message was repentance, a change of mind that leads to a change of action. They were changing their mind about themselves. They were seeing themselves as sinners. They were changing their minds about Christ. They were seeing him as the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were seeing him as the Messiah. And so they had learned from Christ to preach repentance. And so now they are going out two by two. And what are they doing? They're preaching repentance. And go all the way down to verse number 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So now's the opportunity. The students going back to the mentor and being able to share on this preaching tour. They were finally out now on their own, getting their feet wet in the ministry. and they were talking to the Lord about what they preached and what they had done, what they had said. Go all the way to the last chapter of Mark now, chapter 16. I want us to see two more verses, all this by way of introduction. Again, when you get close to someone, they begin to influence your life. Depending who it is, it might be for the good or it might be for the bad. This was a tremendous opportunity for these 12 men. By the way, not all 12 changed. One of them would later betray him. But anyway, as he journeyed with them, these men began to learn from him. They went out, they were sent out, they began to preach like him. They came back, they reported to him what they did. Now look what it says in verse number 15 of chapter 16. And he said unto them, he's about to leave now. Before, it was kind of, okay, we can do this. Well, he wants us to go out for a couple months and then come back. This is all right. He's now about to go back to heaven, and they're going to see him no more. And so he begins to usher them or deliver to them this great commission. This is what it is. Verse number 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord says, okay, it's time for me to leave. This is your mission. I want you to now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Remember back in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, he ordained 12 that they should be with him. He wanted them to be with him so that he could influence and impact their lives, because he knew one day he was going to leave. And so he wanted them to be able to live for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, ultimately, he sends them the Holy Spirit to help and to guide them and direct them. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. Look what it says now in verse number 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Look at the next phrase, though. The Lord working with them. See, the Lord wasn't ultimately leaving them alone. He was allowing the Holy Spirit to influence their lives and to help them. I want to talk to us today about a life wholly influenced by the Holy Spirit. And to do so, I'd like you now to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, a little bit further back in your Bible, a little bit more toward the end, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I want you to turn to the book of Galatians. Listen to what it says in Acts 4:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Christ had so impacted their lives that once he was gone, they recognized that these men were under the influence of the ministry of Christ. I wonder, is God influencing your life? We are told in the Word of God that as Christians, the moment you believe, that the Holy Spirit begins to permanently indwell you. We've never seen Him, but as Christians, we know of His influence. And what we believe as Christians is if you begin to walk with the Spirit, it is going to influence every area of your life. I wonder, is every area of your life being influenced by the Holy Spirit? I'd like to talk to you about that today, but let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just saw how your Son influenced these men. And people noticed and took knowledge that they had been with your Son. They recognized there were character traits. They recognized that there were similarities. I'm sure there were statements made that they had heard previously from the lips of Christ that now they were hearing from these apostles, these sent ones. Father, every day we have the opportunity to enter into a relationship with you. We do so by reading your word. We talk to you in prayer. But sometimes we live the rest of the day as if we've never talked to you and never read your word. Father, you want our lives to be wholly influenced by your Spirit. And so I pray that you would work in our hearts and lives today to see the importance of living and walking in the Spirit and what that looks like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to notice, first of all, with me, one of two points this morning. And it's, first of all, this idea of you must allow the Holy Spirit to influence your life. I want to really focus on this idea of being influenced. Again, the disciples were influenced by being with Christ. You may have been influenced by your mother, your father, grandparent, friend, mentor. Look what it says here in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He talks about later in verse number 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We as Christians are not only to name the name of Christ and to simply pray a prayer in order to be saved, but we as Christians are now to be His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What does that mean? Well, we're not just to be saved, we are now to walk in the Spirit. Or what do I mean by that? We are not only to read His Word, but we are to live His Word. And we talked about that last week from the book of James in the first chapter. We are to continue therein. So me, being a child of God, this morning already I had the opportunity to get up and to take some time and to read the Word of God. I was actually reading in the book of Romans this morning. And I'd ask the Lord to help me to, first of all, understand it, and then teach me something that I might need today. Because I don't know what I'm going to face today, but the Lord knows what I'm going to face today. And so I asked the Lord to show me something that I might need today. Teach me something. So that as I go throughout this day, I can now walk according to the Word of God. I don't just want it to be a book that I read and set down and not influence my life. I have enough books in my house that do that. I want this book to influence the way that I live my life. I wonder, is the Holy Spirit influencing the way you live your life? In fact, if you look at that word walk there, this I say then, walk, it's actually a command. It's commanding us to walk in the Spirit. That word also means to regulate one's way. It has the idea of allow the Holy Spirit to regulate your way. You may enter into the military. You may say, well, I want my freedom. I want to go into the military. And you might recognize, boy, I lost every bit of freedom that I had. And all of a sudden, there's someone regulating my way, and he's doing that by screaming at me and shouting orders and regulating my way. And as a soldier in the military, then, you fall in line under those commands. You allow that drill sergeant, or you allow that sergeant or whatever it may be over you to regulate your way. Well, in the Christian life, we have the Holy Spirit. And we want the Holy Spirit to regulate our way. And while some of us are saying, you know what, Pastor, I read the Word of God every day. I'm in the Word of God. But I wonder, is the Word of God actually influencing how you live your life? Let me say, dear friend, it is impossible to walk in the Spirit and then have broken relationships all around us. Because if we are walking in the Spirit, it's going to impact us and it's going to come out in our lives. So let us look beyond the influence. First of all, we looked at this. You must allow the Holy Spirit to influence your life. To secondly, you must see the Holy Spirit. I wonder, do you see the Holy Spirit's influence in your relationships? No doubt as these disciples were walking with Christ, it impacted how they treated everyone else around them. As I said earlier, take Pastor Terry with you for a day. or Beth with you for a day, or some other Christian mentor with you for a day. I'm sure that might make some adjustments in your day. I'm sure some things you wanted to say to somebody, you held back. I don't want to say that. Pastor Terry's right here. Or Beth's right here. Or whoever's right here. And so that regulated, that was like a regulator. You might put onto a propane tank to regulate the amount of propane being given. That would regulate you. Well, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And so if we are really walking in the Spirit, we should then see some fruit of that coming out in our lives. So let's look here a little bit closer here again in the fifth chapter, because the Holy Spirit's going to influence all of our relationship. Look at verse 18. If ye be led of the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit's leading. Remember, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm letting Him regulate my way. So if I'm being led of the Spirit, He's in charge. He's leading me. You're not under the law. What does that mean? If you're following the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry about the law. What's the law say about your interrelationship? Well, first thing it says is honor your father and mother, correct? That's a good place to start. We're on Father's Day. If you're being led of the Spirit, if you're really walking in the Spirit, you will honor your father and mother. You don't have to worry about the law. The law won't be making you honor your father and mother. This isn't about do's or don't. The Holy Spirit will be leading you to honor your father and mother. So if you're having a difficult time honoring your father and mother, then you're not walking in the Spirit. Because as long as you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to worry about the law. What else does the law say? Thou shalt not steal, right? It's one of the laws. Well, I don't have to worry about a sign being hung up saying, don't steal, if I'm walking in the Spirit. Why is that? Well, the Spirit will never lead me to steal something from someone else. Thou shalt not kill. Again, I'm not going to have to worry about that law if I'm walking in the Spirit. The Spirit will never lead me to take someone's life to do no murder. The Spirit's not going to lead me to kill someone, to get even with them, to get back at them for what they've done. So if I am being led of the Spirit, I don't have to worry about the law. Why? Because the Spirit will lead me to a life that's above the law. Christianity shouldn't be all about these do's and don'ts. It's all about a relationship with God. So if you're having trouble mistreating people and you're having trouble in your relationships with people, it's an evidence then that you're not walking in the Spirit. Let's look at some of the fruit we ought to be seeing in our lives then. Okay, we're not under the law, I understand that. We're not having to worry about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, honor thy father and mother and the others. But he says, this: you're going to have fruit in your life. You're going to have some evidences. You're going to have some things that you ought to see that will assure you that you're actually walking in the Spirit. Look at verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit is this. And he gives us a list. And I don't think his list is all conclusive. This is the only thing you'll get. This is the only fruit that you will bear. But I think it's an exemplary list. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you'll see this. You should see this fruit in your life, the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of long suffering, the fruit of gentleness, goodness. It just goes on. faith, meekness, temperance. And look what it says at the end of verse number 23. Against such there is no law. You know what? If you're loving, if you're being long-suffering, if you're being gentle, if you're being good, you're not going to break the law. There isn't a law against any of those things. So again, as a Christian, we are to get into the Word of God, but then as the Word of God gets into us, it is to influence all of our other relationships. You can't separate and say, well, I've got a really good relationship with God, but I don't get along with so-and-so. Wait a second. You can't disconnect it. You can't say, well, I got a great relationship with God, but I can't stand my husband. Because having a relationship with God is going to produce the fruit of love. It's going to produce the fruit of joy. It's going to produce the fruit of peace. It's going to produce the fruit of long suffering. You know what? This came out a couple years ago. I heard this and I never really had thought about it before. And I don't remember if Karen stated it or if somebody else, I heard it in somebody's message or whatever it was. But for the Holy Spirit to produce long suffering in your life, you have to have somebody in your life that you have to suffer with for a long time. Maybe you did marry them, I'm not sure. That is a long time. But for the, you see, you say, well, I am happy when they're not around me. I do have the evidences of the Spirit when I'm not near them. No, that's not how it works. The Holy Spirit wants to produce fruit in your life when you are with them. And it would go on to be gentle and doing good to them. And in fact, if you read the Word of God, if you have someone you struggle getting along with, and we'll look at this in one of the messages. By the way, I decided to make this message into about 6 messages. You can thank me later. Okay? We could miss Father's Day if I'm not careful. And so you are just getting the beginning of it. But as a Christian, with God influencing our lives, we then should be, it should be influencing every part of our life and every relationship that we have. So there may be some relationships in your life where you're not walking in the Spirit. So as a Christian, you got to say, wow, am I producing, do I see this fruit in my life? Am I loving? And again, it talks about, Peter talks about it. If you only love the people that do good things to you, what kind of love is that? You say, well, I do love certain people. What kind of love is that? That isn't a Holy Spirit love. That's because you're getting from them what you want from them, so you'll love them back. But the Holy Spirit will produce a love in you that if they're not giving to you what you want from them, you'll still love them. You'll still be joyous toward them. You'll still be at peace with them. You'll be willing to suffer long with them. You will be gentle with them. You will be good to them. You will be meek with them. You'll show temperance toward them. You see, folks, Christian life isn't about reading our Bible and going on to live the way we want. The Christian life is about the Word of God influencing our lives. Why? Because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So as you begin to walk in the Spirit, you need to say, Father, now help me to bear the fruits. and help me to love the unlovely, and help me to be joyful toward those who are saddened and distressed, and help me to give peace, and help me to be long-suffering, and help me to be gentle, and help me to be good. You see, because the Holy Spirit wants to work through you. Pastor Terry, can you come up here for a minute? Oh, boy. If the Holy Spirit wants to produce love and show Pastor Terry love, will he use a hammer?
Certainly hope not.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit may feel like using a hammer with Pastor Terry. But the Holy Spirit can't produce love in Pastor Terry's life through a hammer. He can't produce long suffering in Pastor Terry's life through a hammer. He can't produce gentleness in Pastor Terry's life through a hammer. No, it's this inanimate object. And Pastor Terry likes baseball, so I brought a baseball here. Can the Holy Spirit produce, he likes baseball, can the Holy Spirit produce peace in his heart through a baseball? No. You see, if the Holy Spirit wants to produce peace in his heart and joy in his heart, there's really two primary ways that he has to do it. One is through the Word of God. That the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And how many of you have been distraught in your life and got up someday and read the Word of God and have been encouraged and have been helped, and the Holy Spirit just worked in your heart? He said, oh man, I'm so glad I took the time to read the Bible today. And the Holy Spirit just met a need in your life and you praise the Lord for it. But you know what else? The Holy Spirit also uses other believers. It talks about it in the book of John. And when he has come, he will reprove the world. Well, how does he do that? He does that through the Word of God and through the Christians and their lives. He reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And he goes on. So, the Holy Spirit wants to use you as a channel. So, if he wants to give joy to Pastor Terry, he wants to use you. And if he wants to give goodness to Pastor Terry, yes, he can use the Word, but he wants to also use you, because you are now to be a channel of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you and trying to produce this fruit through your life. Why? So that you can be a blessing to others. The problem is, we like to approach it almost as a smorgasbord and pick who we are going to be a blessing to. And the reality is, God wants to use us in everyone's life. And if my life is wholly influenced by the Holy Spirit, I will be ministering to everyone I come in contact with. You can be seated. So again, we can't say, dear friend, I'm walking with the Lord, but I don't like, and I don't get along with, and do you know what? No. At least in that moment, you're not walking with the Spirit. Because the evidence is the fruit isn't there. So what we need to do is then ask the Holy Spirit. First of all, we need to confess. Man, I am not being a channel for you. You want me to be a blessing to this person and to that person, and I've cut that off. Fathers, we're at Father's Day. I wonder, are you seeing fruit as a father? I mean, as you walk in the door, or as you are in the influence of your children, and I'll speak specifically to that since we're on Father's Day. Are you producing love in your children's lives? Are you bringing joy, spiritual joy, into their lives? Again, He wants to give you joy, not to keep it. He wants to give you joy so that you give it to others. He wants to give you peace so that you give it to others. He wants to be long-suffering towards you. Why? So that you're long-suffering toward others. I wonder, fathers, are you demonstrating love? Do your children say, man, my dad, I can tell my dad loves me. I can tell my dad has joy in his life. My dad just exudes peace. I mean, wherever dad is, it just takes those turbulent situations and there's a sense of peace because my dad walks with the Lord. Are you gentle? Are you long-suffering? Are you good? Again, we can read our Bibles for 6 and 8 hours a day, but the Word of God says in James that your religion is vain if you can't even control your tongue. So what we want to do is ask the Father to allow His Spirit to take total control of our lives and begin to walk in the Spirit. And then we don't have to worry about all the laws, because as long as we're obeying the Spirit, there is no law against that. And the ways that the Holy Spirit will lead you and what He'll direct you to do will never disobey the Father. You say, well, there's these couple individuals. Well, let me ask you, how is the Holy Spirit leading you to treat them? Is you're never talking to them? Is that what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, to never talk to them? Is the Holy Spirit leading you to talk about them behind their back? Is the Holy Spirit leading you to mistreat your children? What we need to ask the Lord then today is this. Father, will You wholly influence my life? I don't want there to be one area or one person that You don't want to work in their lives that You couldn't do it through me. There's supposed to be no corrupt communication, but only that which is good to You, edifying. Father, help me in my children's lives. Help me not to be tearing them down. Help me to be building them up. Help me to be changing and influence. Because a holy life influenced by the Holy Spirit will then be influencing others for the cause of Christ. The Word of God talks about if you have a mate that's not a Christian, how you ought to live your life, because who knows how they may be won without the Word. Meaning how you might allow them to be, lead them to Christ, and they're not even reading the Bible. Why? What are they reading? Your life. So may our lives be wholly influenced by the Holy Spirit, so that every relationship we have sees the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let's pray.